Thank you for it's like, do we clap? Do we what? Only if you sold it up. Brother Joshua, can you take this for me? Otherwise, I'll be holding on to it and fiddling with it, and then it'll start falling apart, and then I'll be making a mess. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this hour and moment and time that we have. I surrender to you. I surrender to your authority, your rule, your strength, your power, your might. I surrender to your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Holy Ghost, lead me. Think through my mind and speak through my mouth the utterances of Almighty God, the very things that Jesus and the Father are talking about that they want revealed to this assembly. Holy Ghost, let's do this thing. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Ghost, for being with us, for leading and guiding us. We give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five, and then go ahead and be seated. I am not going to be very long. And I'm going to start off with sharing this. And I don't know if who it might apply to, one of the kids. But a word came forth, a word to share regarding healing for fingers. Anybody having pain in their fingers, any discomfort, and they're okay. Anybody else right here, okay. Anybody... okay, stand up. Specifically, left hand. Who's having left hand problem? Okay. Okay, there's another one. So y'all need to come up or something. I know you might be at your post, but anybody that's needing healing, come on up in Jesus' mighty name. Specifically, left hand, tip of ring finger. Anybody tip a ring finger? Tip trigger finger? Okay. Jesus. Maybe a burn, cut, or bruise. Or nerve. Submitting this in case it's for today. How many of you would agree that it's for today? Hallelujah. Come on up here, Sister Wallace. Anybody else who's dealing with it? You know, other than those that are here and have identified, this is one of the reasons why you have to seek God, not just when you come to church, but in church you ought to develop the attributes and the steadfastness and the discipline to seek after God. Coming to church is not just for religious experience or entertainment. It is to teach you the way of life for a believer in the kingdom of God. You are born again. You're no longer of this world. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. You're of the kingdom of God. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And so we want to conduct ourselves as such. And the reason I say that is because this is a word that God gave Sister Sharon while she's seeking him. As I was preparing to come this morning, this is what the Lord revealed to her. And so God reveals to what? Yes, he does. He's not going to say somebody has a backache and then leave him with the backache. No, God, our Father, is going to reveal it because he wants to do something about it. Yeah. And he's able to. He's well able to. He can do more than that. There's nothing impossible with him. And so even as you're seeking God and God reveals things to you, and then you can see this before your eyes, may it increase your faith. Amen? Tell your neighbor, God is with me. Hallelujah. He can give me a word at home. He can give me a word at church. He can give me a word on the job. He can give me a word in the marketplace. He can give me a word. I don't mean to be gross, but if I'm in the bathroom using it, but my mind is stayed on him, God can give me a word right there. Yeah. You can't go anywhere escaping the very presence of God. And so you might as well, since you're his daughter or his son, you might as well just acknowledge him wherever you are. He doesn't want you to acknowledge him out of just being afraid of him, like he's going to strike you down. But then my daddy's with me. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and say it to somebody. My daddy is with me. Glory. Hallelujah. My daddy is with me. You know, you got a heavenly father that can be in all places at all times, possessing all power and authority, might and dominion over everything in this life or the life to come. You serve the one true eternal God. So while I'm talking, people are getting healed if they can receive it. I mean, if I can be up there officiating a homegoing celebration, which in everyday language is a funeral. If I can be up there just officiating a funeral, say a few words and then start praying, and then somebody comes up to me afterwards and tell me that they got healed, they feel healed during the prayer, you know, God is unlimited. So just receive what you need right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift the hand up that was hurting. If it's a finger, just begin to lift it up and move it in Jesus' name. And if you can't move it, in the name of Jesus, I speak against the resistance. I speak against the pain and the discomfort. I speak against injuries. I command it in the name of Jesus. I speak against arthritis. I speak against any crippling disease that would try and come upon your physical body, no matter what it may be. In the name and by the authority of Jesus Christ, I speak healing into you now. God has already revealed it, and he revealed it because he wants to do something. So in the name of Jesus, hold it up, whatever hand it is, hold it up, whatever finger it is, hold it up. Is that as high as you can hold it? Can you hold it higher? Yes. Okay, now, which one is it? What is it? Thumb? It's the thumb. And somebody stretch forth your hand. Anybody, everybody, stretch forth your hand. Did you injure it? What happened? You don't know? It's just what's wrong with it. On Thursday. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this. I speak to this pain and discomfort, and I command you to be loosed. I command this finger to be loosed. I command it to be loosed in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. I speak to the pain, and I command you to go. I call forth the healing virtue and power of Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. Just begin to move it. Just begin to move it. Just begin. Don't be afraid. Just begin to move it. Just begin to move it. Move it. Move it. Move it. Does it hurt? It does. It does. Keep moving it. Keep moving it. In Jesus' name, I command that pain to cease. In the name of Jesus, I command it to cease. In the name of Jesus, I command it, the pain to cease. In Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead and flex it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In Jesus' mighty name. Does that hurt? It does. Okay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor's here. Come on up and lay hands on that thumb. Get a double portion on this thing. In Jesus' name. I speak healing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That's the left hand. In Jesus' name. Which one is it? This one? In Jesus' name, I speak healing to this finger in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no more pain, no more discomfort, no more stiffness, that this finger be loosed, that it be loosed, it be free, and be effective in working in the name of Jesus. I speak it right now, Father. I release your healing virtue and power, for you reveal things to do something about it. In Jesus' name, move it, move it, move it, move it. What about you? Huh? Both hands? In Jesus' name. How you doing? How you doing? If you got a testimony, raise your hand. Hi. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Brother OCL.
I had this pain for like 3 weeks, and I didn't notice it got better until right now. Yeah. I don't know when it happened, but yeah, it was 3 weeks. I thought it was gonna I'll never go away.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's gone or it's going or what?
Yeah, it's pretty much gone.
It's like, pretty much gone. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Father, we thank you that it's all the way gone. Let it be all the way gone.
3 weeks he's been dealing with it today because God spoke to his servant who was seeking him. Boom. Boom. How you doing, Minister Posada?
Lord, I've been having this pain for almost about a month, and what ended up happening, I don't know, when I twist my wrist or all of a sudden my fingers will go numb and there'll be a lot of tingling and a lot of pain, and so I was just working through it, and praise God, I thank Jesus, because just this week, I was asking the Lord, should I just go up and have Apostle pray for my hands, but I was like, no, I want to work out my faith, and the word of the Lord came, and it was more of a confirmation, and Jesus. I thank the servant of God, and
Jesus.
Man, I'm pulling my thing, and I don't feel any more tingling,
Jesus.
And this arm is feeling good,
Jesus.
And praise God.
Jesus.
Praise God. And I know that there's just a little numb, but I know that I'm just giving God glory. That's going to be completely gone. Yeah, come on.
Lord, woo!
Jesus.
We take away
Jesus.
We
take away thank you, Lord.
This thing has to go.
Come on.
Totally
come on. Lord.
Where was it? Where was it? Was it in the...
Just when I stretch it. It was my fingers...
I noticed you grabbed right here. Yeah, why did you grab right there?
Just going like this little
right there?
Sharp, but it was nothing compared to how it was before when I used to stretch it out.
Yeah.
I was like, praise God.
Like tip of the finger.
Hey,
something like
God.
Tip of the finger.
Glory.
In Jesus' name.
Glory.
In Jesus. Lord Jesus,
glory.
We thank you.
Woo,
we
Jesus.
Thank you. We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus. Glory. We give you glory.
Yes.
We give you glory.
Yes.
We give you glory. How you doing? Okay? Just okay. Okay. Well, do you believe? What do you believe? You believe what? Okay. Do you receive healing all the way? Okay. Now, let me teach you something about faith. Whatever we ask for in prayer, we believe that we receive it. You've heard me say that before, right? Now let me teach you what that means, okay? Who has something that I... Okay, I got something in my hand. Thank you. So, ask me for the napkin. Close your eyes and ask me for the napkin. Open your eyes. Where's the napkin? Okay. When did you get it? And what happened? Tell me this. What did you do? And when your eyes were? Okay. So I wanted to do that because relate that to prayer. So closing your eyes, focusing in on God, and you ask God for something, and God gives it to you while your eyes are still closed. And then when you open your eyes, you have it, okay? This is how faith is. When you ask God for something, you get it. If you're asking according to his will, you get it. And so you don't get it when it manifests. You get it when you ask for it. So that's what the analogy of the closing of the eyes, you got it, you received it. Then you open your eyes and it's there. So the point of that is, and I hope you understand, when we ask God for healing, first of all, he revealed it to heal. But when we ask God for healing, he gave it to us when we asked him. Not when it manifests, he gave it to us when we asked him. So we will walk away thinking, well, I didn't get anything. Well, that's the normal sense. But we're not normal anymore. We're not abnormal. We're supernormal. Amen? We're above and beyond just the normal. Okay? God calls us up to a higher life. It's a life of faith. And in faith, we don't have to see it. to believe it. We believe it, and then we'll see it, okay? So you got your healing. It's going to manifest, okay? So when I say, did you receive your healing, and you say no, to me, what that means is when you pray, or when we pray, for healing, what that means is that, Lord, heal me. And then we won't take the healing. You understand what I mean? Because if we say, okay, if I say, Lord, heal me, it's done. But what about the manifestation? We praise God till it manifests. But we got it when we prayed. That's what God wants to teach his people. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. The habit is it shall manifest. It's in your possession. Our daddy is like this. He doesn't raise up spoiled brats. He raises up sons and daughters. But it's his goodwill and his good pleasure to give us good things. So when we ask him for things that are according to his will, he's like, here. The boy who was the brother of the prodigal son, I'm not trying to make an example of you, so don't feel embarrassed or anything like that. I'm actually teaching through you. The boy who was the brother of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son left God, he asked for all of his inheritance. It's a type. It's a type and shadow. It's a parable. So the prodigal son says, give me my inheritance. And the father gave it to him. And so the boy took his inheritance and went out and spent it on wasteful living. But when did the father give him his inheritance? When he asked him. He gave it to him. He went off and exhausted it. He blew it. Then he became poor and impoverished. But when he came back home, the father forgave him, embraced him. He felt like, just make me one of your servants. Make me one of your slaves. I don't deserve to be your son. The father says, no, you're my son. Bring out the fatted calf. Bring out the robe. Bring out the shoes. Bring out the ring. My son who was once lost is now found. So his son comes up. The other brother, he gets upset. And the brother says, all these years I've been serving you. And you haven't even given me a goat. That's just how bad it's been for me. And yet, this son of yours who took your inheritance and went out there and wasted it on wasteful living, hanging out with prostitutes, doing all sorts of things he had no business doing, and here he comes back and you give him the robe, you give him the fatted calf, and that was the thing. He was comparing that fatted calf to a goat. That was like, that was offensive. He's like, you gave him the fatted calf. You wouldn't even give me a goat. That's how it was. That's how it was presenting it. And so the father said, all that I have is yours. In other words, if you would have wanted the fatted calf, all you had to do is ask. So if you wanted healing, all you had to do is ask. Healing is for the children. So when I say, do you receive it? Just say, yes, I receive my healing. Okay, now people might think that you're crazy. Are you healed? You say, yes, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed and made whole. Well, are you still in pain? Yes, I still have pain, but I thought you said you were healed. I'm healed because of the authority of God's word and what Jesus Christ did for me. God says I'm healed now. You think I'm healed when there's no more pain. I'm healed now. I receive my healing now. And so then as you go on thinking and praising God, and all of a sudden you realize, praise God. It ain't there no more. Thank you, Jesus. And it's like, well, when did you get your healing? When I prayed. No, you got it when it manifests. No, I got it when I prayed. That's faith. The other stuff is like, I got to see it to believe it. In other words, I got to feel it right now to believe it. And it's like, no. When you ask the Father who loves you, he gave it to you. Just now go on and rejoice and thank him and wait on the manifestation. It's not a sign of doubt, because if he healed, where's Brother OCL? Okay, they're busy. And so that means Minister Posada is busy too. Okay, they're not here, but you heard their testimony. Amen? Do you think they would lie? You think they're telling the truth? Okay, so you're a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God. You are entitled to the same healing. They experience healing. You experience healing. Just because, see, delay is not denial in the kingdom. So just because yours hasn't manifest doesn't mean you don't have it. Only reason you don't have it is if you give it back. So take your healing in Jesus' name. Love you. It's going to be a freshman at the high school. You're not even tall enough to be a freshman at the high school. And she still looks like she still belongs in, like, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade. In Jesus' name. All right. Love you, Kelechi. Praise God. Tough one. Hallelujah. So we give God glory. Amen. And I don't mean to pick on Anthony, but it, again, miracle right there. See, I saw the parents. I saw the dad. I saw the dad as a guardian. I saw the dad warn a person. Well, I wasn't there actually, but I believe him in the dialogue that he shared with me, where there was a woman that was trying to create doubt in the situation, and I saw the dad stand up. First, he gave her a warning. When she did not heed that warning, he told her she had to go and get the stuff out that she tried to bring in. Why? Because he wanted his son raised up. Praise God. That is awesome to me. That is awesome to me. If you never appreciate them for anything else, appreciate them for being there at your bedside. I tell you, Anthony, and again, I'm not picking on you, but I witnessed it. I was one of the first ones to get called to come and agree with them in prayer. I saw for myself his conduct, the conduct of his wife. I saw him. He wouldn't let any doubt come into the room. He wouldn't even have anybody come into that room unless God had already given him the approval that this is the one to come. That was a guardian. Praise God. Yeah. That alone is worth a happy Father's Day. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Kid you not. That's rare to find that kind of faith. Even in the body of Christ, you got to remember, Jesus was surprised at the centurion because his faith was greater than all these followers of his. Yeah, so with that being said, I got to get you out of here in about 20 minutes. Amen? Why? So you can go home and enjoy Father's Day with your dads and husbands. And yeah. Amen? All right, so thank you, Sister Sharon, for being sensitive to the Spirit of God. It bore witness, and people got healed as a result. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not getting corny on you, but it's raining. Oh, that's somebody's phone talking. Yeah, you have to watch those things, because I know sometimes Siri, she started talking to nobody. It's like, what's that noise? But anyways, I'm not getting corny in this. I just read something, and it just blessed me. It was something that was written in like 1850, somewhere in that that time span. That's not the exact date, but it was 1,800 years ago. Over 1,800 years. It was back in the 1850s, if you will. I'll get my brain straight. And anybody that was in school. You had to go through certain courses, and when you got to English, one of the things they were trying to teach you, one is how to write a sentence. You know, you have your subject, you have your predicate, you have your nouns, you have your pronouns, you have dot, 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 and trying to teach you common English and all, which is good. But another thing they would do is in literature, have you read poems. And, we would always try and write our poems and make them based on rhymes, and I think that's how rap originated, from poems and all. But I came across this one, and it was, to me, it speaks volumes as far as our life and what it's meant to be and what it ought to be. So again, not getting corny, not running out of things to preach, but just want to share something with you that might make a point that'll motivate you to do even better in life. And this poem was written by Henry. Praise God. Henry's a good name. It means a good ruler, a good leader. But his last name, well, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I don't know all of the history about the individual's life. I just, from what I did observe in some of the things that he did, he was a good poet, well-educated, and his writings impacted the lives of many. Later on in life, of course, people tried to criticize him, and it's like, man, that stuff has just always been around. Anybody that starts to shine or starts to do better has to be ready to be criticized or ridiculed because of what they're trying to do. But he had the mindset of just going on anyways, and that's what you have to do. You're going to have critics. You're going to have people who like you. You're going to have people that hate you. You're going to have people who are for you. You're going to have people who are against you. Just be for what you are for. Does that make sense? You know, you do what you believe you've been called to do because you're going to have your critics out there. Just don't let the critics stop you from accomplishing what God has intended for you to do. And so I was looking at this. I've had it all along but never really realized it. But when I was seeking the Father about what I would share at Pastor Lucia's father's homegoing, I came across this. And anyways, let me just share it with you. It says, "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream." I don't mean to be funny or corny, but how many remember that nursery thing, row, row, row your boat? Yeah, and some things we were saying as kids and didn't even understand the full meaning of it. I mean, ring around the rosies. And then when you study the significance of what it was dealing with, it'd be like, oh, should I even be saying that? Pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, all fold down, deals with death. And so we would do it. How many of you remember? We'd be holding hands in a circle, ring around the, you know, like we have. You did it? They still doing it? Man, praise God. That's one tradition that's still going on. But anyways, I thought about that, and he's like, "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream." In other words, life is more than just a dream. It's a living reality. Sometimes you might feel like you're in a dream because dreams can be so real, especially when you're on your, you know, bed at night, sleep. You can get into deep levels of sleep, and then, you know, even coming out of deep levels of sleep, all of a sudden a dream could come. And then you're at that stage where you're almost at that waking up period. And when you wake up, it's like, man, whoa, that seems so real. Sometimes dreams are of God. Sometimes dreams are what you ate just before you went to bed. And then sometimes dreams just come through common activity. You know, you might have been doing something all day, and then you go to sleep, and then you dream about what you did. So it came out of that activity. But there are dreams that come from God. And so it's like, tell me life is more than just a dream, that it's living reality, that this is not just a facade, it's not fake, but there's some reality to what this is all about. And so it's like the author comes to grips with that. He says, "For the soul is dead that slumbers." You got to be active. Some people, they just want to, you know, if they worked all their lives, they just want to retire and just, you know, go into the, sail off into the sunset and just relax and enjoy. And it's like, not for the believer. Our lives continue to go on. They continue to be a written epistle, if you will, to be seen and read by others. God's word tells us that even when we get old, that he is able to, it doesn't say it in these exact words, but you understand what I mean. Even when we get old, God is able to renew our youth like the eagle. The righteous, they shall flourish like a palm tree. Flourish in what? Definitely not just sitting on a seat. No, flourish in activity. Flourish in life itself. We don't even want to visualize ourselves of being in a rest home you know, in the care of others, if you will. Now, that happens for many, and it's not a put-down, but for the believer, we don't want to have that kind of a mindset, not knowing the promises of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. We want to be alive. You know, there are some people who are in their 90s that have more energy than people who are in their teens. They still have a get-up-and-go mindset and mentality. Still trying to make something out of life or either contribute to the lives of others to make them better. Even just teaching others, you know, so that they don't make either the same mistakes or that you can warn them of what's ahead if they keep going down this pathway. But you never just want to close off and just wait on the day when you breathe your last breath and then you get put in that casket and then you get put 6 feet under. It's like, no, live, praise God, for the glory of God. Amen. Thank you for the two or three claps, but live, come alive, release what God has put in you because it's for you and it's for somebody else too. But don't sit back and let life become so miserable for you that you want to check out. I don't know if you, you know, keep up with some of the news that goes on, but there was this lady, and I might have mentioned it before, Spade, I forget her first name, Catherine Spade or something like that. Kate Spade. I was close. Thank you. Kate Spade. Now, some of you may know her. You may have bought her shoes or her purses and things like that. I don't know, and that's not the point. The point of it is that on the surface, she looked like a very successful individual. She had this business. She had this empire, if she will. She was married and all, but now she's going through a divorce, and then everything just falls right under the, out of the bottom, and she commits suicide and then leaves her daughter a note saying that it's not your fault. And if the saying is true, she says, it's not your fault, but ask your dad. You know, that little girl's got to grow up underneath that. But the thing of it is that she got to a place where all of a sudden, you know, you would look at it in the natural and say, man, if I would have achieved that kind of success, I could care less. Bucko, you want to go? Go. Here's the floor. There's the door. Get out of my eyesight. Because life goes on beyond that. You were created for something greater than just tragedy. So when you don't have no hope, when you don't have no reason for living, the most minute thing can just cause you to check out early or give up or become a hermit and just, like, who was it, Howard Hughes? Howard Hughes became so reclusive. Wealthy, is one of the wealthiest men in the world, but so reclusive. He wore gloves and all. He was afraid to touch things. And, you know, he, all of that wealth, and then he dies this miserable, horrible death, if you will. That's not for you as a child of God. This guy says, tell me life is more than just a dream. That's the living reality. In order to make a difference, do something beyond yourself. That's really when you appreciate life, when you impact the lives of others. You see some value in you. Not that you lie, but that you contribute to somebody's good that helps them out, even as you are being helped out yourself. You ain't got time to be miserable. Just go ahead and tell yourself, praise God. Preach to yourself. You ain't got time to be miserable. I'm still waiting for some of you. Praise God. Active participation is good for your faith. Hallelujah. Resistance is a sign of rebellion. I ain't doing that. Okay, let me read the poem. Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Whew, praise God. Isn't that something? Somebody had a statement that it's not polite or biblically correct to say in the sense of the words that they use. But I'll just say this, and I don't want you to just, you know, think negative of what I'm about to say, but in line with what I just read to you, he says, life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Some people have this statement, life is a blank, and then you die. Some people view life as hell right here. Heaven and hell right here on earth, and there's nothing beyond this. We know different. There's something far beyond this. But God created this for us to get to know him and to glorify his name in the earth. You can't glorify God in a state of misery all the days of your life if that's all that comes out of you is misery, because for a believer, even in misery, praise will still come up. People may look at you and say, you ought to just, you know, it ain't working for you, dot, 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 and whatever else they might say, but you just keep giving praise and thanks to God. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yeah, but the doctor told you this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yeah, but look what happened over here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yeah, but look at this. You look at the life of Job. And in everything that happened to him, he was found blameless because he did not deny God or come against God or even blame God for the things that were happening. He said this, probably one of the weakest statements he could have made. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he didn't fully understand what was going on. He didn't realize that it was Satan who had asked permission to get to him. Because God knew him. What have you been doing? Going walking to and fro in the earth. Have you considered myself Job? Don't you know God knew he had considered Job? Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, blameless? And then he starts to expose himself. Yeah, but take that hedge of protection away from him. Yeah, but that's because you blessed him. That's why he loves you. So God told him, you do whatever you're going to do, but you can't take his life. And all these things, Job still gave God praise. Hallelujah. It wasn't the material gain. It wasn't the family. It wasn't everything that he had achieved. It was God that he trusted. Hallelujah. So you still have a praise. You got to watch out, because all of the junk that could come out of your mouth can nullify your praise. Put praise in the place of the complaint and watch God move. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. So, dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Your soul is eternal. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end of way. But to act that each tomorrow finds us farther than today. You get that? Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not dumb, driven cattle. Be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the living present. Heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us we make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing over life's solemn main, a forlorn or shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. And so, in and of itself, yeah, it'd be good for a funeral, but how about for the people that are still alive? That you don't give up in the middle of things. That you don't give up in adversity. That you keep living and thriving for the things of God with every breath in your body. That you don't waste any time, but you redeem the time for the glory of God. Never stop living while you're alive. And think about this. You got eternal life abiding on the inside of you. Live for the glory of God in everything that you do. Live on purpose. Live. Don't die while you're still in this body. As I said, it's the dead soul that slumbers. You know what the word slumber means. Slack, complacent, slow. Don't let that be you. You're still full of life. Well, I'm young. You're going to get old. Keep living. But make every day count, whether you're young or old. Don't die before you die. And I'll end it with these words. And these are from a man who's now with Jesus. His name was Dr. Miles Monroe. When you die, die empty, because you fulfilled everything God has in store for you. Now, if you don't think God has anything in store for you, you're serving the wrong God. My daddy has a business. It's called Kingdom Business. And he expects and he inspects all of his employees who are his sons and his daughters, whether they are fruitful, whether they are slack, or whether they are, I'll say it like this, a reject. With the fruitful, God prunes to make them more fruitful. But with those that are not, I'll just say this, bearing any fruit, Jesus is like this. They're good for nothing but to be plucked off and thrown into the fire. So just tell your neighbor now, no dead weight in the kingdom. Reckon yourselves alive to God, dead to sin, and productive for the kingdom of God. Whether you're on your job, be the light that shines in the darkness. Whether you're in the marketplace, be an example and be light. Whether you're in church, be effective and engage in the building of Dad's kingdom. Don't just be an attender. Don't just be a bench warmer or a seat occupier. Actively engage in the work of the kingdom, because this will follow you all the way into glory. And you're sure to have a life that is vibrant in the hands of the Master. Amen? All right. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for this time and thank you for your sons and daughters. We give you glory and honor. I pray that the words that I've spoken are words of life, words that strengthen and build, that your people will receive and run with. May you be glorified in everything that we do this day as we celebrate Father's Day. We bless every family. We bless every father. And we thank you. Now, as we leave this place, may the power of the blessing of God be upon each and everyone that's under the sound of my voice. And I say this, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you'll triumph and conquer the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God. The Lord bless you and bless the works of your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. We won't be coming together tonight for prayer. Enjoy the fathers, help them to celebrate, and if anybody gets some Kinder's food, see me afterwards. I'll tell you where it came from. Praise God. Hallelujah. They tried to get off easy on us, fellas. Praise God. So when you sit down, just say, is this from Kinder's? All right, let me stop. I'm getting silly. Take the mic before I go off some more. Praise God. We love you. Enjoy Father's Day. And get ready to run for the kingdom, because it's worthy of it all.